already printed. This talk, unfortunately, consciousness can be done either through your bodily action or verbal or mental. Now we come to wholesome consciousness. As I have said, our consciousness can be classified with respect to its nature in four ways. And we have discussed the one unwholesome akusala. They are four, and we have discussed it yesterday. Now we come to wholesome consciousness, akusala. There are eight wholesome consciousness, we call sense fear, wholesome consciousness. Number one consciousness accompanied by joy associated with knowledge and process. The consciousness, unwholesome consciousness is accompanied, is associated with what? Yesterday we studied wrong view. Wholesome consciousness is associated with knowledge. Knowledge, or the meaning of knowledge here, means knowing things as they really are, or understanding the law of karma for knowledge. In Pali we call jnana. Here knowledge also same as right view, same as understanding, same as wisdom. Different word but same meaning. Jnana kampanita. And you understand what accompanied by joy and unprompted already. And if you understand, if you believe that that next word, after that next word, and that word of four woeful states, and that word of Brahma and Deva is also called understanding or knowledge. Let me give you an example for number one. A man, saying a monk coming from Hyderabad, and he happily offers him some food, understanding with a potent wheat which can produce potent results. Under such conditions, number one consciousness arises in his mind. Yesterday we have talked about 12 unwholesome. Now we come to 24 beautiful. Under the 24 beautiful consciousness, there are 8 wholesome consciousness, 8 resultant, and 8 functions. Now we study the 8 wholesome first. Number one consciousness accompanied by joy associated with knowledge and concept. The example I have given just now, a man was seeing a monk coming for dinner, but he joyfully offered the food to him, understand this good dish will produce good results. So this type of action has three roots. The three wholesome roots. Number one, what? Non-greed. He is able to sacrifice or give up his belonging and offer to somebody. He means non-greed to his own property. Number two, when you give something to somebody, it shows that what? The goodwill you have towards another person. The loving kindness you have towards another person. This is non-literate. And you understand, you do it with the understanding of the law of karma. This is what? Wisdom, non-delusion. So such action has three roots, three wholesome roots: non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. 那他们怎么做？ One consciousness accompanied by joy is associated with knowledge prompter. Now this same man offering when seeing a monk come from Peter Bus, he offered some food only after pursuit by his prayer. He go and offer him, he go and offer him, then he go and offer him.But we understand also this and good deeds, which will produce good results. Then, untouched situation is under number two. Now, one consciousness accompanied by joy associated with knowledge content. Like, I think among yourself, some of you come to this Dhamma talk after pursuit by your friend. Then, it's called prompted. So, you come here with prompted consciousness.Not unprompted. Or some come with spontaneity. And when you say, oh, this Amrita Dhamma talk, I want to go. Then it's unprompted consciousness. So if you do something good with unprompted and with prompted, which one bears better result? You know it. Number three, one consciousness accompanied by joy dissociated from knowledge unprompted.For example, when a mother brings a child, a boy, to the temple, and he asks the boy, please pray homage to the Buddha. So the boy, following her instructions, pay homage to the Buddha with joy. So number three is unprompted. A boy coming to the monastery, then spontaneously he pays homage to the Buddha, but not understanding.Because a boy, without wisdom, he doesn't understand this is a good deed. Under such situation, number three, consciousness. One consciousness accompanied by joy, dissociated from knowledge and prompter. Number four, one consciousness accompanied by joy, dissociated from knowledge and prompter. Now this boy paid homage to the Buddha after.When his mother asked him to do, only he do it. Then this is called prompted. Here, inducement by others. Number five, one consciousness accompanied by, number three and number four only have two roots. And the root of non-greed, the root of non-hatred, but,No root of wisdom. When such action, when such good karma without the root of wisdom ripens in your future life, what will happen? What will happen? Then you will be a person without wisdom. You will be a person without wisdom faculty. If your rebirth consciousness, suppose you do some dana, but you don't understand this good deed. You do some dana without based on the understanding of law of karma. So dana itself is good deed. Good deed will produce good results. Suppose this good deed produce the rebirth consciousness as human beings. But this good deed is done without the root of wisdom. So you become a human being without the root of wisdom.So when you come to practice of samatha meditation, you cannot achieve that. Not to speak nirvana. So you cannot achieve dhamma and nirvana in this very life. If your rebirth consciousness is not accompanied or not associated with the root of wisdom. So whatever good action you perform,either dana, sila, bhavana, serving, pay respect to the elder, transfer marriage, or so on, please do it with understanding. Then, only then, that karma, when giving the result, then you will be reborn, either in human world or deva world, with the root of wisdom, with three roots.And this is a very, very important factor that you have to bear in mind because you do keep your precept every day and you do dana every day. But now just apply the wisdom that you bear, then look in the future. Number five, one consciousness accompanied by equanimity associated with knowledge and comfort. Sometimes you come to the temple and you see a donation box and you just put some money with equanimity. No joy doing, just put it there. But you understand, you put it, you do it spontaneously and comfort. But this kind is accompanied by neutral feeling, no happiness. When you do good, you do it with happiness and you do it with mutual feeling. Which has happened? Huh? Some happy, some neutral. Buddha say, when you do dana, before you do it, you have a lot of happiness. And the moment you offer, you have a lot of happiness. After offering, when you recall, you also have happiness. This type of dana is called superior dana. Okay. So whatever wholesome deeds are done in a sincere, you have to do it with joy, with happiness, not mature feeling. Okay. But if you come to meditation, that neutral feeling is good. Because that neutral feeling is called upekkha. And when you reach fourth jhana, that happiness is gone. Replaced by upekkha. So when you reach samatha meditation, that upekkha is good. But in that called five material sphere consciousness. Now we are talking about sense sphere consciousness. So in sense sphere consciousness, whatever, dana, sila, or service and so on, we have to do it with happiness. If you do not do it with happiness, you do it with equanimity, when this karma ripens, you will be reborn as a human being without much joy. Your weight always never smile. This is the result. Number six, one consciousness accompanied by equanimity associated with knowledge prompted. When you come to the temple, you are asked to do some donation. So, you are asked to do some donation is unprompted or prompted? Prompted. You are asked to do some donation, that is prompted. So you do it with equanimity. Because you are asked. You are not very willing. So you do it with equanimity. Number seven. One consciousness accompanied by equanimity may associate us from knowledge and prompted. Some people, they come to a temple, when they see the Buddha in the next very serene. So, spontaneously, they bow down to the Buddha. But not knowing, this action is a good deed. They just bow down like that without understanding. Such situation is number seven. One consciousness accompanied by equanimity may associate from knowledge and unprompted. And number eight, one consciousness accompanied by equanimity dissociated from knowledge prompted after engagement by others. Is it clear? Yes. Okay, very good. Let us continue. So now we have discussed eight sincere wholesome consciousness. And this eight sincere wholesome consciousness will give result to the identical eight sincere resultant consciousness. This eight, as you reach it, you will see same, exactly same as the eight, just within the eight wholesome consciousness. But now it's resultant. It's the result of the previous eight wholesome. So, for example, number one, let us go back to the wholesome consciousness number one. One consciousness accompanied by joy associated with knowledge and prompted. If this karma ripens, it will give results to the resultant consciousness number one. One consciousness accompanied by joy associated with knowledge and prompted. It's accompanied by three things. And this one, the insultant question. will become the reverse linking consciousness. Will become the reverse linking consciousness of a man or Deva. The first moment of life is called reverse linking consciousness. So this one will become the reverse linking consciousness of man or Deva. According to a commentary, number one, the Southern consciousness, is the reverse consciousness of Bodhisattva, Supreme Siddhartha. The reverse linking consciousness of Supreme Siddhartha is number one consciousness. One consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with knowledge and unfolded. Now we come to number two. One consciousness accompanied by joy, associated with knowledge, prompted. So the result is prompted. Because when you do the karma, you do it with prompted, after inducement by others. So when this gives result, how a prompted consciousness gives its fruit? I want to give you a story. During the Buddha's time, there's a very poor man who shares only one outer garment with his wife. So as they had only one outer garment, both of them cannot go out at the same time. The wife would go to the monastery during the daytime. Then after he becomes back, he gives the outer garment to the husband, and the husband will go to the monastery at night. So one night, while this husband, the poor Brahmin, While he was listening to the Buddha's teaching about the many gates of Dharma, and his whole body was suffused with joy and was inspired to offer his only outer garment. But he realized that if he were to give away the only outer garment, there would be none left for him and his wife. So he hesitated. So while he's hesitating, the first watch passed away. He did not offer. Then he continued to listen to the Dharma. Then he was inspired again to give this answer to him. But he still hesitated because there's only one. If he gets up, he cannot come to the monastery and listen to the Dharma again. And so he did not offer. Then he continued to listen to the Dharma until the third watch. Then he said to himself, if I hesitate again, I will miss the opportunity of ending the world's suffering. So as quickly as possible, he placed the garment at the feet of the Buddha and went to a corner and cried out, I have won. So when he cried out, the King Pasanadi was there. So when the King Pasanadi heard somebody cry out, I have won, he was surprised. Because this was usually asked by him when he go for war. So he had not win over his enemies, and he would say, I have won. So he wanted to investigate what is the reason. So he asked his followers to investigate the reason. Then the answer comes to him. Then he says, this poor Brahmin has done what is difficult to do. I must reward him. So he offered him a piece of straw to him. And this poor Brahmin, once he received the piece of cloth, he quickly offered to the Buddha again. So this makes the king very happy. Okay, I must give him more. So he gave him two pieces of cloth. Then the poor Brahmin gives all food to the Buddha again. Then this makes the king more happy. So he gives four, double. Then this poor Brahmin offers four. Then the king gives eight, up to the 16 up to the 32. So when this poor Brahmin received 32, then he kept one for himself, and keep another one for his wife, and the remaining 30 he offer all to the Buddha. So the king says, this poor Brahmin really done a thing which is so disgusting. So he asked his followers to go back to a palace and bring back the two very, very expensive clothes and give offer to this poor Brahmin. And this poor Brahmin takes out one for himself and another one, he makes a canopy and offers to the Buddha. So the next day when the king went to the monastery and saw that expensive cloth in now offered by this poor Brahmin, and he gives some more reward to this poor Brahmin. So the monk, when all the monk know, then they ask the Buddha, how is that? All the monks ask the Buddha, how is that? In the case, is this Brahmin a good deed done at the present moment, at the present life, bears fruit in his hearing? The monk asked the Buddha. And the Buddha said, if the Brahmin had offered his outer garment in the first watch of night, he would have been rewarded more. Since he had made his offering only during the last watch of the night, he was rewarded less. So this is the difference from church and unconscious. So the moment you want to do, quickly go and do. Then you will get better results. You can think twice. Next day or another day. Because you are slow in your good action, so the result will come slow and less to you. So this is a difference between prompted and unprompted. So when one wants to give in charity, one should do so quickly. If one has tasted, the reward comes slowly and only but sparingly. Also, if one is too slow in doing good deeds, one may not be able to do it at all. So if I want to do tomorrow they forgot. So he will not do it at all. And because the mind tends to take delight in doing evil. And because this, as the Buddha said in the Dhammapada 116, the Buddha said, be fast in doing good. Check your mind for the evil. For the mind of him who is slow in doing meritorious things, then the mind delights in doing. So this is admonishment by the Buddha. Okay, now let us come back to the number 3. So this is how the concept is consciousness. When you do something with prompted, then it gives results as prompted as well. And number 3, number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 is identical result from the rest bottom consciousness. I think I should not go through, it's very time consuming. But I would like to emphasize again that resultant consciousness, number 4, number 5, one consciousness accompanied by equanimity is so... Sorry, I would like to talk again, number 3, one consciousness accompanied by joy dissociated from noise and from whatever resultant consciousness which is dissociated from knowledge, has for me two roots. So all this 1-8 becomes the main of Deva rebirth consciousness. So if you have done something good in the past and without understanding of law of karma, so it will get result as rebirth consciousness. with my tools. That is number three. You focus up on knowledge. And number four, you focus up on knowledge. And number seven, you focus up on knowledge. You focus up on knowledge. Is it clear? Now we come to eight, ten, there are functional consciousness. What it means, functional consciousness? Functional consciousness does not invoke any karma. It only performs its activity, then pass away, without leaving behind any karmic potential. So this is functional consciousness only belongs to Arahant, Arahant or Buddha. So since it belongs to Arahant and Buddha, it's not our concern. So we go to the next. We have discussed the 12 unwholesome consciousness and the 24 beautiful consciousness. What are 24? 8 wholesome consciousness, 8 resultant consciousness, and the 8 functional consciousness. Now we come to goodness consciousness. Unwholesome consciousness is accompanied with unwholesome fruit. There are 3 unwholesome fruits. What are they? Greed, hatred, and delusion. And beautiful consciousness is accompanied by wholesome fruits. Non-greed, non-hatred, and non-delusion. Now we come to goodness without any root. Since root has stabilized the consciousness, so the consciousness with root are strong. The consciousness which are rootless is really weak because they have no root. So the rootless, there are 18 rootless consciousness. This 18 can be divided into 3 groups. 7 are called unwholesome resultant. 8 are called wholesome resultant. And the 3 are called functional consciousness. Unwholesome resultant here doesn't mean that because if we say resultant, resultant has no wholesome and unwholesome. But we say unwholesome resultant because it is a result of unwholesome karma done in the past. Resultant itself has no wholesome and unwholesome. But unwholesome resultant here, unwholesome here means, and this resultant consciousness is the result of unwholesome karma in the past. Now we come to eight wholesome resultant goodness consciousness. Number one, I consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. When a visible object impinge your eye sensitivity, then the seeing consciousness arises, seeing that object. That arising of seeing consciousness or eye consciousness is resultant consciousness. So when you see something, it's a result of your karma. So when you on the road, when you see something, your eye, the physics comes into contact with your eye sensitivity. Then eye consciousness arises in that physics. Physics is pleasant object or unpleasant object. Okay. So seeing an unpleasant object or undesirable object is your bad karma. It's not bad karma. It's a bad resultant because it's unwholesome resultant because of unwholesome karma in the past. So if you meet with good person, you see with good person, it's also result of your good karma. If you mix with unpleasant people, it's also result of your bad karma. So even though we say that, okay, seeing physics, or when you see some people, or flyers, on the throne. It's full of that. That it's also because of your past bad karma. Because of your past bad karma, now you see the undesirable. But although saying that undesirable object is a bad karma, it's a bad resultant from the previous bad karma, but how you react to it? When you say that it's a how you react to it, it depends on what? Saying itself is bad, which is a resultant only, that cannot be changed. But once you say it, your reaction, that can be changed. Whether you react it with wholesome consciousness or unwholesome consciousness, that depends on your own mind. For example, the bhikkhuni, Amma Pali bhikkhuni. She is Arahant. Before she became Arahant, she was prostitute. For many lifetimes, she was prostitute. Even the prostitute can become Arahant. But why she was reborn as prostitute? In one of her past lives, while she was a bhikkhuni, she always cleaned the pagoda, the surrounding of pagoda. One day, she saw a speaker on the floor near the pagoda, in the compound of pagoda. So seeing the speaker is unwholesome, resultant. But how she react? Then she said that she was very angry. She reacted with anger. Then she said, which prostitute sweep that sister on the floor? And very unfortunately for her, the one who dropped her speaker is Arahant. Arahant Bhikkhuni. Very old Arahant Bhikkhuni. Because this Arahant Bhikkhuni cannot control, sometimes we cannot control our, so she dropped her speaker accidentally, without any intention. But this Amma Pali Bhikkhuni, because seeing that speaker is her bad resultant. But how she react? She react with anger. And she also bad speech. Because of that karma, many lifetimes she was able to force you to. That's why the Buddha said, be careful of your speech. Anybody, when they were born, they bring one knife in his mouth, in their mouth. If you are not careful, this knife cuts yourself first. You abuse people as prostitutes. This person will never become prostitute. And you yourself become prostitute first. That's what Buddha said. Be careful of your speech. So now you understand. When you see the undesirable object, it's a bad karma. But how you react? That depends on your wise attention or wise reflection or unwise reflection. That can be changed. How you react, that depends on your mental state. But seeing the undesirable object itself cannot be changed. That's the result of karma. That's the result of karma. Is it clear? Okay, good. And why is accompanied by being thirsty? Because it's very weak. It's only accompanied by being thirsty. It's very weak consciousness. Next, ear consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. When you feel I give up. So eye consciousness here, just now I give you the unwholesome resultant. Actually now we are talking about wholesome resultant, rootless consciousness. So when you see something, when your eye meets with something desirable object. When you go out, you see flower, you see good friend, you see Buddha and so on, you see monk and nun. So when your eye comes to contact with pleasant or desirable object, then it's called resultant, wholesome resultant, I consciousness. Number two, wholesome resultant goodness, ear consciousness. When you hear something good, it's also the result of your good karma in the past. No, when you smell something good, something pleasant, it's also the result of your good karma. The tongue consciousness, when you smell something good, when you taste something good, it's also your past for some karma. These four are accompanied by the nature of fear. But number five, body consciousness accompanied by pleasure. When you sit, sometimes you sit.
For example, some people sit on the
Some people sit on the very soft sofa now. Some people sit on the very hard surface. So when you sit on a very hard surface, you feel what? Uncomfortable. But if you sit on the soft sofa, you feel pressure. So when the moment the body contacts with the tangible object and you feel pressure, then it's a good resultant body consciousness produced by your good karma done in the past. The next, receiving a question for you. Why the body consciousness accompanied by pressure, not by neutral feeling? But the eye consciousness, ear, nose, tongue consciousness are accompanied by neutral feeling. Why? I think some of you have attended Abhidhamma's class. Can you tell me why? All are mental. Now all consciousness. We are talking consciousness. Okay? All mental. Okay, I think no one can answer. I better give answer myself. I consciousness take what object? Visible object. Ear consciousness takes sight. Nose consciousness takes smell. Tongue consciousness takes taste. Body consciousness touch. Tangible object. Okay. Tangible object consists of earth elements. Not four elements, three elements. Tangible object only consists of three elements: earth element, fire element, and wind element. Water element is not included in tangible object. According to Abhidhamma, water element cannot be touched. Cannot be touched. Cannot be filled through body consciousness. So body consciousness takes tangible object, which consists of earth, fire, and wind element. These three elements are primary elements. The three primary elements. Visible object, I take visible object for color. Color, sound, smell, taste are not primary elements. They are derived elements, which arise depend on the four elements. So since they are derived elements, they are really weak compared with three primary elements. Because they are weak when it comes to contact with eye consciousness, so the feeling is neutral. But the body consciousness is accompanied by pressure because body consciousness directly takes three primary elements. So the impact is very strong, just that it's accompanied by pressure. Okay? Is it clear? Okay, now next, receiving consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. Receiving consciousness. I will discuss with you in detail when I reach cognitive process. Okay? Now even I tell you, you will not understand. Next, investigating consciousness accompanied by joy. And the next, investigating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. What's the difference among these two? When it's accompanied by joy, when the object is extremely desirable, only it will be accompanied by joy. When the object is desirable, not extremely desirable, it will be accompanied by neutral feeling. So these are the eight wholesome, resultant, fruitless consciousness. The result of our past good karma. What are the past good karma? What are the past wholesome consciousness? How many of them? Oh, just now we have just studied. 24. Hey! Hey! 24 including resolvent and including functional. So this eight wholesome, resultant, goodness, consciousness are also the result of the eight wholesome consciousness in the same sphere. Okay? Is it confused?
No.
Okay, now we come to seven unwholesome, resultant consciousness. So eye consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. I think I have given the example just now. When you see the skitter on the road, or when you see the coat, when you come out on the way, you meet an accident. And you see some dead body. Is it wholesome resultant or unwholesome resultant?
Mm-hmm.
Unwholesome resultant. Huh? But how you react when you see the accident? It depends on your mental, depends on your wise reflection or unwise reflection. If you want to have wholesome consciousness to arise effectively when seeing an accident, how should you do? You should reflect. Death can occur any time, any moment. Who will say for certain, I will live to see tomorrow, so I better try it out. If you can reflect in such a way, then wholesome consciousness will arise millions of times in your mental stream. But if you see an accident on the route, then you feel disgust. Then the unwholesome consciousness would just be what? Anger. The unwholesome consciousness rooted in anger will arise thousands of times in your mental stream. Then you are accumulating a lot of unwholesome karma. Next, ear consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. When you hear very sharp sound, this sharp of terrible sound, then it's unwholesome resultant consciousness. Ear consciousness, hearing the unpleasant sound, is the unwholesome resultant thought, trigger that sound. The nose consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling, when you smell something, very bad, so also bad result, the bad resultant consciousness. The tongue consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling, when you taste something very bad taste, that is also the result of your previous bad karma. But we tend to forget our own karma, so we like to blame. Your cooking is so bad. You blame the cook rather than blame your own bad karma. Okay. And body consciousness accompanied by pain. When you sit there and you are bitten by mosquito, you bring the mosquito. Who asked you to bite me? I will kill you. Actually, that body consciousness accompanied by pain. When you are bitten, you feel painful. So it's a bad karma. It's your own bad result because of serious outcome. So if you can have such right understanding, you understand, oh, because my business people is finite karma, then you will not get angry. If you get angry, you are accumulating unwholesome karma. Then you have to pay for it. No one will pay for you. So be careful. So the understanding of Abhidhamma is very, very helpful to stop all the evil. Of course, if you are afraid of bad results. If you are not afraid of bad results, then you will not care. Knowledge is knowledge, practical and I don't follow. Okay. Next, receiving consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling and investigating consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling. These two I will discuss when I reach cognitive process. Okay, a question for you. When you meet with unpleasant or undesirable objects, for example, faces of people, then the unwholesome eye consciousness arises in you. Because this faces of people is undesirable object. But if undesirable for us, for dogs, it may be desirable. So how is it? How do you say that it's unwholesome karma for the dog? When the dog meets with faces or you know, rotten food, he likes to eat the rotten food. So whether the object is undesirable or desirable, it depends on the nature of the object. Not the inclination of your mind. So the inclination of the dog, maybe you like this. Although the object is undesirable. But for the mind, the inclination of the mind, maybe you like this. But for human beings, no, it's very undesirable. So, to distinguish whether this object is desirable or undesirable, depends on the nature of that object. So the nature of thinking is desirable or undesirable. Undesirable. Whether you are dog man, it itself is undesirable. Okay, now we come to another trait, goodless functional assessment. Functional consciousness only performs tasks, only performs its activities which do not leave any karmic potency. Okay, I've mentioned many times. Number one, why so avoiding consciousness accompanied by neutral feeling? When a visible object impinges eye sensitivity, or any sense object, that impinges to any sensitivity before it is visible object and before eye consciousness arises, that one type of consciousness we call five-door averting consciousness arises, turning towards the object. This is called five-door averting consciousness. When it turns towards the object, then if it is visible object, then eye consciousness will follow. If it is sound, ear consciousness will follow. If it is taste, tongue consciousness will follow. So before eye consciousness, ear consciousness, and so on, five soul averting consciousness arrives first, turning towards the object. Like inquiring, oh, what is this object? So it's accompanied by neutral feeling. And it's functional consciousness. Number two, mind soul averting consciousness. After eye consciousness seeing the object, after eye door connective process seeing the object, followed by mind door connective process. The first mind door connective process is mind door averting consciousness. The mind awards to the object. It's called mind door averting consciousness. We will discuss this when we reach connective process. Number three. Mind-door averting consciousness is also accompanied by neutral feeling. Samatha smiling, producing consciousness accompanied by joy. This consciousness belongs to Arahant and Buddha only. It's not belong to them. It causes Arahant to smile, or it causes Buddha to smile when seeing something about sensitive phenomena. And Buddha smiles, Arahant smiles. So they smile with meaning. I'm not like us. So now we have complete all 54 sensitive consciousness. Let us repeat a little bit. More sense field consciousness. Can you tell me what again? Do you remember? Sense field consciousness can be divided into three groups. Four are unwholesome. This four unwholesome can be divided into three. Each are rooted in three. Two are rooted in and two are rooted in delusion. And this among 54 sense here, there are 24 beautiful. 8 are wholesome consciousness, another 8 are resultant, another 8 are functional. And there are 18 rooted, among 54 there are 18 rooted. 7 are unwholesome, rootless, resultant. 8 are wholesome, rootless, resultant. And the three are functional. Okay, now we have complete all 54. Any questions before I proceed? Thank you. Now that's good. Let me show you the. So sense here, there are 54 sense here consciousness. 12 are unwholesome. And this 12 unwholesome can be divided into 3. 8 are rooted in greed. 2 are rooted in hatred. And 2 are rooted in delusion. And there are 24 beautiful. 8 are wholesome, 8 are resultant, and 8 are functional. And there are 18 rootless. 7 are unwholesome, resultant. 8 are wholesome, resultant. And 3 are function. Okay, is it clear? Now we come to fine material field. Before I attach this fine material sphere consciousness, let us ask you again. Let me ask you again. What is the meaning of sense sphere consciousness? All these concepts are very important. If you don't make clear the concept, it will be very confusing. Sense sphere consciousness are the consciousness mostly move about in the 11 sense sphere plane. What are the 11 sense sphere? Sense here, please. Four mobile states. One human realm and six deva realms. In which the craving for the five visible, craving for the sensual pleasures are very predominant. Craving for visible objects, craving for pleasant visible objects, craving for pleasant sounds, pleasant smell, pleasant taste, and pleasant tangible objects are very predominant. All these are called sense sphere consciousness. That's why in the sense sphere consciousness, we have unwholesome because of the craving for the sensual pleasure. But in fine material sphere, you see, there are five. Five wholesome, five resultant, and five functional. There's no unwholesome. because the five material sphere consciousness has already suppressed the craving for the sensual pleasure. That's why there's no attachment in the five material sphere. And five material sphere consciousness, and 15 five material sphere consciousness are the consciousness mostly move about in the 16 five material sphere space. A question for you. Can the five material sphere consciousness happen in the sense-feel space? 11 sense have not. How? Now we are in the sense-feel space. So if you practice jhana, you accept jhana, then your mind is in. It's called fine material sphere consciousness. So we are 15, five are wholesome, five are resultant, five are functional. Now let us discuss five wholesome, five material sphere consciousness. Number one, first jhana. Wholesome consciousness together with initial application. Now we discuss sustained application with jhana, joy, it is happiness, dukkha, and one pointedness, ekagata. This is a called first jhana. In order to achieve this first jhana of five material sphere consciousness, you need to practice samatha meditation, concentration meditation, and practice up to attainment of jhana. So how to practice until you achieve first jhana? I will give you the practice of anapana, practicing up to the attainment of first jhana. I think most of you have experienced anapana sati meditation, the mindfulness of breathing in and out. In the beginning, the nimitta appear as gray color. We call paritama nimitta. Concentration becomes different and different. It becomes transparent. This nimitta becomes transparent like morning star or like diamond, sparkling. So it becomes very bright here. If your nimitta is far away from the nostril, for example, you see light here, this is not called nimitta. The nimitta comes from the breath. How can the nimitta hear the breath come to this tree, come to on top of your head? So if you see light far away from the nostril, it's only called light. It cannot be called nimitta. And that light far away from your nostril cannot help you into jhana. Only the light on the nimitta comes from the nostril. It's called real nimitta, the object of jhana. So when this nimitta becomes transparent, your mind absorbs into this nimitta. Your mind and nimitta are unified together. So at that time, you have attained first jhana. When you attain first jhana, the five jhana factors appear very clearly in your bhavanga here. You have to discern the five jhana factors in the bhavanga here. And when you discern the bhavanga here, you will see the bhavanga mind like a mirror, and this five jhana factor will appear here. The mind cannot hear, but you feel it. You feel the five jhana factor here. So these five jhana factors are vichara, initial application, sustained application, vichara, joy, pity, happiness, dukkha, and non-pointedness, ekagata. So at that moment, you attain first jhana. Number one. You can enter in the first jhana as long as you want. You have to, of course, initially you only you can only stay in the journal maybe 20 minutes or 10 minutes. But if you keep on editing, you can stay in the first journal for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, even up to 5 hours without interruption. It depends on your concentration. Now, in order to go to the second journal, how should you do? Before we go to jhana, let us understand what is the meaning of five jhana factors. Number one is initial application of mind, the vidaka. The meaning of vidaka is directing and placing of the mind onto the object of the satipatthana nirvana. You place your mind here, satipatthana nirvana. It's called vidaka. And whichever sustained application of mind, you continue. Exercise the mind on the satipatthana nirvana here. It's called vichara. The vichara is like a bee diving into the flower. Vichara is like a bee buzzing around the flower, buzzing across the flower. Number three is joy, pity. So your mind takes interest or liking for the satipatthana nirvana. And number four, happiness, sukha. The pleasant feeling or happiness associated with experiencing the satipatthana nirvana. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Now, what's the difference between pity and sukha? Pity is like a traveler which is very tired. When you hear the sound of water, then he feels joy. When he actually drink the water, he feels happiness. This is the difference. And pity is formation, aggregate. Five aggregates. We have materiality aggregate, feeling aggregate, perception aggregate, and formation. So the same joy here belong to formation aggregate, but happiness belong to feeling aggregate. So this is the difference too. The last one pointedness, ekagata. One pointedness of mind, or fixing the mind firmly on the satipatthana. Your mind fixed here without wavering. This called ekagata, one pointedness. Or we call samadhi, concentration. So these are the five factors present in the first jhana. Now since you are good in the first jhana, before go to the second jhana, you have to learn the five masteries. Mastery in averting, being able to avert to the jhana factor after emerging from jhana. After you emerge from the jhana, you know how to, you are able to avert to the jhana factor here. The next one, mastery in attaining, being able to enter jhana whichever one wishes. Now you say, I want to enter into jhana now. Then you can do it. That is called mastery in attaining. And mastery in resolving, being able to stay in jhana for as long as one has determined to stay. If you want to stay in the jhana for 2 hours, you can stay there. If you want to stay in jhana for 5 minutes, you can stay there. It's called mastering in dissolving. And mastering is emerging, being able to leave the jhana at a time when you're coming to emerge. Suppose you want to emerge from the jhana after 1.5 hours. Then after 1.5 hours, exactly, you will come out from the jhana. It's called mastering in emerging. And the next mastering is reviewing, and being able to review the jhana factor from which one has just emerged. After mastery of this first jhana, then now we can go to second jhana. Second jhana, before go to second jhana, after you emerge from the first jhana, you must reflect the thoughts of first jhana and the meaning of second jhana. What is the fault of first jhana? is very close to the five kingdoms. First jhana very close to five kingdoms. If your concentration is not good, then the hindrances will overcome you, then you lose your jhana. So you reflect the fault of first jhana, and you reflect the benefits of second jhana. The benefits of second jhana is without initial appreciation and sustained appreciation, without vichara and vichara. This vichara and vichara make your mind very busy. So you don't want them. So with the desire to remove this vichara and vichara, then you enter into the second jhana. This is according to Sutanta method, Sutta method. But according to Abhidhamma method, the second jhana remove only vichara, only one initial application of mind. And you see the second jhana here, wholesome consciousness together with sustained application, joy, happiness, and one centeredness. How many jhana factors? Four. So according to Abhidhamma method, the yogi, the meditator, remove jhana factor one by one. But according to Sutta method, in the Sutta method, Buddha always says first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana. Never mention fifth jhana. But in Abhidhamma method, it says we have fifth jhana. So in Sutanta method, the second jhana is equal to the third jhana of Abhidhamma. In Sutta method, the second jhana is equal to the third jhana of Abhidhamma. So now you remove the vitaka, then you reach second jhana. After you have succeeded in attaining second jhana, you learn the mastery again, the mastery of second jhana. And after that, you can proceed to third jhana by reflecting the thought of second jhana and reflect the benefits of third jhana. After third jhana, before you go to third jhana, we move to jhana factors, vitaka and vichara. Then you can go to fourth jhana. Fourth jhana has only two jhana factors, a wholesome consciousness together with happiness and one consciousness. Two jhana factors, sukha and vitakata. So in order to go to the fifth jhana, you have to learn the mastery of fourth jhana and reflect. After you emerge from the fourth jhana, you reflect the thought of fourth jhana and the benefits of fifth jhana. Then you go to fifth jhana. Fifth jhana has two jhana factors. That is equanimity and one pointedness. Upekha and ekagata. According to the teaching of the Buddha, the happiness in the third jhana, the happiness one experience in the third jhana surpass all happiness in the mundane world. We have a lot of happiness in the mundane world. For example, eating or whatever happiness you have, if compared with the third jhana, the happiness in the third jhana is nothing, according to the teaching of the Buddha. So the highest happiness in the mundane world cannot be compared with the happiness in the third jhana. But that happiness compared with the equanimity, that equanimity is much higher than the happiness. So the fifth jhana is the highest. So these are the five wholesome, fine material sphere consciousness. Now we come to resultant. Five fine material sphere resultant consciousness. So these are the identical results of the previously five wholesome fine material sphere consciousness. Identical results. The direct results from them. And this five fine material sphere resultant consciousness will never arise in Earth. Will never arise in Earth. They only arise in the Brahma world. The wholesome fine material sphere consciousness, jhana, can arise in earth when you are practicing samatha. But the resultant will never arise in earth because this resultant consciousness are the reverse linking consciousness of Brahma in Rupa world. Okay? For example, just now when a person practice Anapanasati up to first jhana, before he pass away, he can sustain with first jhana up to his dying moment. So he passed away with first jhana attainment. Then immediately he passed away, he was reborn in Brahma world with number one. First jhana resultant consciousness together with initial application, sustained application, joy, happiness and one consciousness. With this consciousness as the reverse linking. Complicated? Is it clear or not clear? Clear. So it's a this one, this is a reverse linking consciousness for Brahma. It cannot happen in earth. It cannot happen in the Deva also. But wholesome jhana, it can have wholesome jhana if we now practicing jhana. But resultant, now we are talking resultant consciousness cannot happen in time. It becomes the reverse linking consciousness for Brahma who are born in the Brahma world. So if a person can maintain his sixth jhana or fourth jhana up to dying moment, then he pass away. Then you will be reborn in the Brahma world with its reverse linking consciousness at this fourth jhana, resultant wholesome consciousness together with happiness and more happiness. Okay, is it clear? Okay. Now we go to five material sphere functional consciousness. And this functional consciousness only for Arahant. Is it for every Arahant? Huh? Please answer me. Is it for every Arahant? Huh? Some Arahant has no jhana. So only for those Arahant who have jhana. So ask questions to make sure whether you understand or not. So these are five material sphere functional consciousness for those Arahant who possess jhana. For those Arahant who have no jhana, this five types of consciousness cannot arise in their mental stream. But of course, if Arahant want to practice jhana, there is need for them because they have no hindrances. The most important to achieve jhana is to overcome the hindrances. It's the same jhana, but only for those Arahant who have jhana. Okay, now we have finished 15 material sphere consciousness. Five are wholesome, five are resultant, and five are functional. Now we come to immaterial sphere jhana. Immaterial sphere consciousness. There are four. Four are wholesome, four are resultant and four are functional. Mostly move about in the four immaterial sphere plane. How to achieve immaterial jhana. for those who want to practice in material jhana, arupa jhana, you must first practice 10 kapina. Have you heard about 10 kapina? You must first practice 10 kapina. If you tell me after anapana I go to 4 in material jhana, I know you are lying. So the knowledge is very important. So if you want to go to arupa jhana, first you have to practice 10 kapina. What are the 10 kapina? First kapina, fire, water, wind, color, white, yellow, red, and brown, and black, space, and light kapina. 10, all 10 kapina. So some meditators, after they have succeeded in 10 kapina, they want to go to arupa jhana, in material jhana, because they think, some people think that this body, material, is the cause for all suffering. Because of this body, we are attacked by weapons, knives, we get a lot of sickness because of this body. So they don't want this body. They want to discard this body. So they want to develop immaterial jhana, which has no body. So in order to achieve the first immaterial jhana, first wholesome consciousness pertaining to the base of infinite space, the first immaterial jhana, the meditator emerged, for example, emerged from the earth kapina, fourth jhana. After emerged from the fourth kapina, the fourth jhana, he tried to reflect the thought of this body. The thought of this body and the thought of the material jhana. Then he entered into the earth kapina again, taking the earth as object. At the time, anywhere you see is only earth. Then you try to pay attention on the space on earth. And gradually, the space becomes bigger, and the earth kapina disappears gradually. Then the space left behind. So now what is this all space? So taking that space, this is infinite space, again and again, until we achieve first immaterial jhana. We call the base of infinite space. At that moment, how many jhana factors arise in him? If we enter into the first immaterial jhana, how many jhana factors? Five. Immaterial jhana has only two jhana factors, equanimity and one poison. After emerge from the base of infinite space, you want to go to the base of nothingness. The base of consciousness. How should we practice? And this meditator takes the jhana consciousness of the base of infinite space. He takes the jhana consciousness of the base of infinite space. And eventually notes base of consciousness, infinite consciousness. And to achieve the base of consciousness. The second in material jhana. The base of consciousness. At that time, how many mental factors arise in him? One. Same, equanimity and one question. So the two external factors are the same. Only the object is the difference. The first one is it takes space as object. The second one takes consciousness as object. Now, in order to go to the search in material jhana. And meditators take the disappearance of the jhana consciousness of the base of consciousness. So it takes the jhana consciousness of the base of infinite space. Now that jhana consciousness of the base of the infinite space, number one, already disappeared. So it takes the disappearance of the base of the infinite space. So nothing left. So it's called nothingness, the base of nothingness. So when we take that, the absence of the consciousness of the base of infinite space as object, then we enter into the base of nothing. How many channel factors?
Two.
The next, in order to go to the fourth wholesome consciousness pertaining to the base of neither perception nor non-perception, it takes the consciousness of base of nothingness. Number three, it takes the consciousness of the base of nothingness as object. And we enter into the base of neither perception nor non-perception. At this stage, all the mental factors are become so subtle. The perception is so subtle. We cannot say whether it exists or non-exists. That's why it's called space of neither perception nor non-perception. All this immaterial jhana has two jhana factors only. Equanimity and one-pointedness. But for rupa jhana, material jhana, in the first jhana we have 5, second jhana we have 4, third jhana we have 3, fourth jhana we have 2, for sixth jhana we have 2. So in the material jhana, the jhana factors are removed one after another. But the object of the jhana is the same for the material jhana, for example anapanasati. Whether you are first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, fifth jhana, you remain taking patibhaga nimitta as object. Okay? But the jhana factor becomes different. But for immaterial jhana, the jhana factor, whether you are in the first base of infinite space, or base of nothingness, or base of neither perception nor non-perception, the jhana factor remain the same. Two, equanimity and one-sidedness. But the object is different. So now you can see the difference. Number one, in material jhana, the base of infinite space takes what object? Take space. Space is ultimate truth or conventional truth. Conventional truth. So the first in material jhana takes space, which is conventional truth. Okay, the second, the base of consciousness takes what object? The jhana consciousness of space of infinite space. So this is conventional truth or ultimate truth? Ultimate truth. Consciousness, ultimate truth. So the second, base of consciousness takes ultimate truth. Number three, base of nothingness takes what object? So it takes the essence of the jhana consciousness of the base of infinite space. This is conventional proof for argument. Excellent. We have studied 4 argument truths, there's no excellent one. Six conventional proof. Conventional proof. And number 4, six word object, the base of neither perception nor non. is perception. Six, the consciousness of the state of nothingness. So six, consciousness. Consciousness, ultimate source of awareness. Okay, so number one, six, conventional source. Number two, six, ultimate source. Number three, six, conventional. Number four, six, ultimate. Okay, any questions? I'm rocking your time. Okay. No, one more minute. Functional, one more. Okay, therefore, in material field, functional consciousness. And this only for Arahant who possess
jhana.
There are two types of jhana. Material, Rupa Jhana or Arupa Jhana. Okay. So for immaterial still functional consciousness, only for Arahant who has Arupa Jhana. So it cannot arise in earth or in Arahant who has no Arupa Jhana. If you don't mind, I finish the last one, okay? After that, I want to start with cognitive process. Okay, the last one is supramundane consciousness. There are eight supramundane consciousness. Four are heart consciousness, which are wholesome consciousness. And another four are resultant. We call fusion consciousness. So supramundane consciousness consists of eight. Four are heart wholesome consciousness, and four fusion resultant consciousness. Supra mundane consciousness in Pali we call Lokuttara. Lokuttara citta. Lokuttara is a combination of two words. Loka uttara. Lokuttara. Loka, the meaning of loka is world. The world doesn't mean the world here. The Buddha means the five aggregates, and the world of five aggregates is called loka. Uttara is go beyond, transcend. So citta is consciousness. So the consciousness which has transcended the five aggregates, the world of five aggregates of clinging is called supramundane consciousness. So there are four wholesome path consciousness, three and three, sotapanna, path wholesome consciousness, and once returning, sakadagami, non-returning, anagami, and arahant. And the three and three wholesome path or wholesome maga and maga produce this result to the three and three resultant consciousness. And the stream, sorry, the one returning wholesome path consciousness is without to one returning resultant fusion consciousness, maga citta, and so on. Okay, all these are it. The difference between path consciousness and fusion consciousness will be discussed in the coming lecture. So now we have studied all the 89 types of consciousness. And before I stop it, let us repeat this again. In Abhidhamma Citta, there are all 89 citta, or 89 types of consciousness. And this consciousness can be classified by way of plane, according to 31 planes of existence. So these before are sense-sphere consciousness, 15 are fine material sphere consciousness, and 12 are immaterial sphere consciousness, and 8 are supramundane consciousness. So the power of it all is in mind. Okay, any questions? You can ask now.
Two questions.
Okay.
The first question is that you mentioned that one can achieve achieve arahatship without jhana.
Yes.
How can that happen?
There are two types of practice. One is called vipassana nyanika. One is called samatha nyanika. Some people attain arahatship without going through jhana. They are pure vehicle without the jhana. They direct go to other four element meditation. From that they proceed into vipassana. But they must have excess concentration. We have different types of concentration. Excess concentration and jhana concentration. For those who have no jhana, he practice up to excess concentration, not jhana concentration. From that he proceed into vipassana.
Excess concentration.
Excess concentration. Upacara samadhi. Upacara samadhi. One is jhana samadhi.
So, which therefore means for lay people is easier to
Not necessarily. It depends on your parameter. Some lay people are very good in jhana. Okay? Some within 3 days or 4 days or within 2 weeks, they can take the jhana. It depends on your past parameter. Whether you have practiced jhana in your past life or not. If you have practiced jhana in your past life, it will be very easy for you to attain jhana in this very life. If you mix with correct teacher. But I think most of you are not encouraged, I think, to practice jhana by your teacher, by your previous teacher. Maybe some of you have practiced vipassana. So the vipassana teacher always ask you, not necessarily to have jhana, it's very difficult. You know, you have to go to solitude, you have to go to the jungle and so on. So that's why you are not inspired to practice jhana. But according to my association with many people, many lay people have very good potential to achieve jhana.
The next question is that I have read somewhere in the Abhidhamma book whereby certain levels of avatar, whereby this is the material level, there is no opportunity to listen to the Dhamma of the Buddha. So, that is correct.
Yes.
So, therefore, can I assume that it is definitely not such a good idea, therefore, to go into avatar?
If you already become Arya now, is it present life as a human being? If you have already become Arya, then you can go to Arupaya. You can when you were reborn in Arupaya, at that time you already Arya. You can continue your practice up to Arahatship. But if you reborn in the Arupa world as Kudu Jana, as ordinary person, as worthy. Then, if the Nitya Buddha appear in the world, you have no chance to see him. You have no chance to listen to his talk because you have no eye sensitivity, ear sensitivity, you have no body. So this is the disadvantage. To be reborn in the Arupa world if you are worthy. But if you are Arya, it's okay, you can continue this.
The Arupa world is still subject to the cycle of...
Of course. All beings in the 31 stages, if they are not Arya, they will... Either you are in the highest plane or in the hell, you are subject to be reborn again and again. Because the fall, craving is not yet exhausted. The ignorant and craving is not yet uproot. Yes.
So, as long as you say about the thesis example, I can't find it on the thesis example. The dog treated differently from the human.
Yes.
Actually, what determines the nature of the species that the dog treated differently?
What determines the species?
The nature of the object. So what actually makes the dog treated differently from the human?
It's called sanya vipalaka, distorted view of the dog. this causes new doctrine, the ignorance of the doctrine. Because Sanya with Palata, this causes new doctrine. Okay?
On the consciousness of, let's say, an educator who stands in front of the stage and then looking at the students, feeling totally contented, happy, immensely happy, and seeing some great potential in the abilities of the children. How do you explain that kind of consciousness? The consciousness of an educator,
a teacher,
who stands in front of the students and feeling immensely happy and seeing great potential needs of the children and feeling happy for them. So how do you explain that kind of consciousness?
It's one consciousness accompanied with joy, associated with. At that time, what in your mind? Either associated with knowledge or associated with knowledge and unprocessed. So at that time, you know your mind, whether it's associated with knowledge or unassociated with knowledge.
Another question. A person who performs difficulty in the toilet decides to see the thesis and to observe the nature of the thesis. And the nature of the physics is covered with oil. And he contemplates and wonder actually what is happening. Why is the physics filled with oil? Whether it has got to associate with some form of disease or not. What kind of a mind state is that?
I think this one is investigation of the object. It's considered good. You investigate the object. If you investigate the object, then maybe finally you will reach something good. If you have concentration, you penetrate into this species and you contemplate the four elements meditation on this species, then you will see this species break down into billions of particles. Billions of particles. And if you can analyze each particle, then you'll find out they are each element. Yeah, each element contains in each particle. That I have explained to you in my first year. That's very strong strongly associated with knowledge. There's one more, I think. Yes, yes. In fact,
Do you mind I answer you when I reach that topic?
Okay. the reverse consciousness in the fourth woeful state can be investigating consciousness accompanied by equanimity. We have 19 types of reverse consciousness.
Yeah,
if I tell you now, it will be very complicated.
Okay,
because
when it comes to the 18
roses, we have
the investigation.
Right, right, right. I said one of them, two of them, will become reverse consciousness too.
Yeah. But then,
when I said
it is very big because it's
good,
so will it really condition
the
reverse into the...
No, that one is reverse, that one was investigating consciousness accompanied by interesting. That one can become a reverse consciousness in a in person who are, you know, like blind, deaf, become the reverse consciousness of the deformed person. I will discuss this 19 reverse consciousness.
Okay. Second question is when you compare whenever I have mentioned the eight chosen musical, then you will become the resultant will be the eight beautiful resultant. And it can be become the eight beautiful root,
right.
Right. So in what circumstances that it becomes the eight beautiful resultant and the other one eight rootless resultant?
If the eight resultant will become the reverse consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse consciousness as human being, mm-hmm. and they were.
Mm-hmm.
But eight wholesome rootless consciousness can happen in the among policy before from the birth up to death.
Mm-hmm.
From the birth up to death in between. That eight wholesome fruitless consciousness can happen anytime.
So you
mean
you only ripen in this
in between.
Life.
In between. It cannot become the birth consciousness.
It cannot become the means you won't ripen.
You
will only
represent
in this
life. In this life or future life?
Future
in a future life, but in between the life. It cannot become a reverse. Reverse consciousness is more important.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Because that reverse consciousness can happen in a form of good state. But the in between life, we call power state, not so important as reverse consciousness. So it can happen in either in this very life,
mm-hmm.
in between,
mm-hmm.
in between birth and death, or future life in between birth and death. Is it clear? Okay, last question. Time is up.
Okay.
Okay.
Hello. What's the main difference between excess concentration and...
Okay, jhana concentration. Excess concentration is neighborhood concentration. Neighborhood means it's very close to jhana. Not yet reached jhana. Very close, one step to the jhana. That's called excess concentration. Jhana concentration is already in the jhana. And in the excess concentration, they have five jhana factors as well. Vitaka, vichara, pitti, sukha, ekagata. But these five jhana factors are not firm. Such like a baby when trying to learn how to walk, sometimes he fell down. He fell down, then he walk again, then he fell down. So this is similar to the excess concentration, where the five jhana factors are not strong. But in the jhana concentration, five jhana factors are very strong. Like adult, when he walk, he never fell down. That's the difference.
How do you distinguish it in practice?
Pardon?
How do you distinguish between excess and actual jhana?
When you practice, you know. When you practice, for example, when you practice, before you reach jhana concentration, your mind is in excess concentration. So you feel that, you know, sometimes the hindrances comes again, goes. So you not yet reach jhana. But once you reach jhana, your mind is steady, very steady. There's no restless in between, and you can sit continuously for 1 to 2 hours. Then you will know you are in a excess or in a jhana consciousness. So we continue next lecture. That's sure. I will answer next lecture.
Sampai jumpa.